So we are holding on Kuf Samach Tes on the Beis by the two dots, 11 lines from the bottom. Actually, make that 13 lines from the bottom because the quotation for the Mishnah.
1, 2, 3.
It's the line begins with Hodor Zav now. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, in the Braith actually, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, we said that Rav Shimon Gamliel says if a person gives a gift of karka to somebody else, the hechzer is a shtar, and then later on the makabel returns the shtar to the giver, then the matana goes back as well. That's where the chachamim say even in that case the matana is still valid. So the question is, my time is Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that if you return the shtar, then the matana is voided? Because we consider it the equivalent of him saying, of the giver saying, it's the equivalent of saying, this field is given to you and will remain in your possession as long as the shtar is in your possession. So therefore, if you return the shtar, then no more field. However, you would assume Rav Asi is saying that when you give somebody a matana and you give them a shtar with it, that's presumably what Rav Shimon Gamliel is figuring, that's the logic. The problem with that is Rav asks on that, and in that case, you could say the same thing if the shtar got lost or if it got stolen or what have you. And yet we see Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't say the matana is voided in that case, so that can't be the reason.
The only time is when you return it.
No, Rabba says the answer is you have to say that they're arguing. We mentioned this briefly yesterday, but they're arguing on a point called osius niknis b'mesira. Can you be machnis somebody a shtar and everything that goes along with the shtar just by giving it to them, or do you need a separate kinyan for that purpose? By giving it to anybody, any time you. To somebody else. We actually discussed this earlier in the Masechta as well. We discussed, but in other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, Rav Shimon Gamliel sava otiyas niknas b'mesira, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you can be machna a shtar and everything that goes with the shtar, meaning the shibud and everything, just by handing it over to the other person. Therefore, in this case, you have a shtar over here. You have a shtar that he bought the karka. If now he takes that same shtar and gives it to the original person who gave it to him, or to somebody else, or whatever, then the field goes along with it. Whereas the Rabbanon don't hold that. They hold that you would need some kind of separate kinyan. You would need kesef or another shtar or chazaka or whatever. What kind of verbal act? You're giving him the shtar. You're giving him the shtar and saying, I'm giving you the shtar. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's enough. Now the shtar is completely given over with all the shibud that's in it. Therefore, in other words, in this case, so if you received a property together with a shtar, and now you return the shtar, then automatically the property goes with it. That I've gone and hold that note. There are Rishonim who say that the Rimigash, for example, mentions that even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we'd only be talking about if that was the original kinyan that was done for the karka was the shtar itself. If, for example, the original thing was not a matana, but rather it was a sale, for example, where he gave you money, and then afterwards you wrote him a shtar, even Rav Shimon Gamliel wouldn't agree that giving the shtar constitute the kinyan all by itself, because the original kinyan wasn't done with that shtar.
It was done
via kesef, for example, or via chazaka, or whatever. Anyway, so therefore, so that's sort of Shimon Gamliel's reason. So now we're going to discuss that point a little further. Turn up on him. Habal lidon b'shtar of chazaka. If somebody comes to Beis Din to argue on the basis of a shtar and a chazaka, meaning in other words, so somebody has a field. And the years pass. He's had it ready for shnei chazaka. He's already had it for 3 years. Now somebody else is coming and arguing that this field is actually mine, you stole it from me, or I previously bought it, or what have you. And Reuven, the owner, the current owner of the field, is arguing on the basis of a shtar and a chazaka. He's saying, number one, I have the shtar, and number two, also, I have a chazaka of 3 years, which when you get down to it, if he has a chazaka of 3 years, you don't need the shtar anyway, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. But in this case, he does have both.
Kuta, he's there for 3 years.
Yeah, no, well, you don't even need. Once he's there for 3 years, all you need is ages. You don't need a shtar. Nidan b'shtar divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says you judge only according to the shtar. Rav Shimon Gamliel, not only. We'll see what it means exactly.
If he has a shtar, you go
according to the shtar. Divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel and b'chazak. So b'mai kumitzli. What do we mean? B'mai kumitzli. What is the meaning of the machlokes? And what's the underlying point of contention between them. He offered of Dimi Yomer, so when the Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he explained, Ba'osius Nifnes Mimisira from this key. The Machlokas is on this point that we just said, Osius Nifnes Mimisira. Is the giving of the Shtar equivalent to the giving of a Karka? Reb Shimon Gamliel Sava in Osius Nifnes Mimisira, the opposite of the Osius, yeah, the Osius the Shtar. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that the Osius are not Nifnes Mimisira, which is the opposite of what we just said. Which the Gemara is going to point out. We said that he holds that it can be. So we're going to take that up in a second. But Rav Dimi is explaining. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Ein osias nichnas b'mesira." Therefore, you need edim of chazaka. Therefore, in other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel would say the fact that you have the shtar in your possession doesn't prove anything because this isn't the shtar that you bought the field with. This is the shtar that the previous owner gave to you that he had this field that he had bought this field from some other person. You holding that shtar doesn't mean that you own the field. Therefore, you need Eide Chazaka. Whereas Rebbe holds it can be. And therefore, the fact that you have the shtar in your possession is itself enough to say that you're the owner of the karka, even if you can't find Eide Chazaka. Why should you need both? It's obviously one or the other. There is, by the way, the Ritva talks about the idea that maybe chazaka over here doesn't mean chazaka of 3 years. Maybe in at least some of the discussion over here, we're going to use chazaka in the sense of, like we learned earlier in the step, the na gadol paras, right? Building a fence, tearing down a fence, locking a door, whatever. Okay. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Dimi, how can you explain it that way? Imkain plug de la demar. If you're going to understand it that way, then it means that you're arguing with what my Rebbe said. Rabba just said, we just finished saying that Rabba explained that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that Osius Nichnas Mimisira, and you, Rav Dimi, want to say that he says that Osius are not Nichnas Mimisira. Omalei, so Rav Dimi says, big deal, but Tiflo, fine, let it be an argument. He's an Amora, I'm an Amora, we're entitled to disagree. Omalei, so Abaya answers back to him, no. You're misunderstanding what my objection is. You're right. Of course, you're entitled to argue with Rabba. However, what I really mean to say is as follows. The only way to understand the Braisa is the previous Braisa is the way, meaning my Rebbe, meaning Rabba. We had to explain when we said before that why Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if you return him the shtar, why Matnasa Kayemet? Chazra Matnasa, the only way to explain it was Rabba's explanation that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Osius Nichnas Mimisira. So the only way to understand that Braisa is like him. If you're going to understand this new Braisa over here about Habolid and Beshtar of Hazaka, if you're going to understand it the way you want to, that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Osius are not Nichnas Mimisira, Kasha did Rav Shimon Gamliel, Adir Rav Shimon Gamliel. So you can have a contradiction between what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, as we just said. So my problem is not that you're arguing with Rabba. My problem is that then how are you going to explain the two prices? Yeah. Elo, I'm going to buy it. Abaya says, no, here's a different answer. Hochab Mayaskinen, what's the case we're talking about over here? You're going to nimp the Echabehen Korovei Potsel. Suppose that he has a shtar. We're not talking about a shtar that he received from somebody else. We're talking about a regular shtar kinyan. That's a regular shtar kinyan that he actually bought the field with it. But it turns out that one of the edim who signed on the shtar is a relative of one of the Baal Dinim or his apostle Edos. So therefore, we're plugged to the Mei of Rabbi Elazar Kamiflagi. So therefore, the machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel is based on the machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Because it, but we have kosher edim that saw it being handed over. And remember, shtar is a valid method of kinyan when it comes to karka. So the question is, what are the more important edim, the ones that are signed in it or the ones that see it being given over, edim mesira or edim chasima? So, we come back to that. Rebbe sava like Rabbi Elazar, drama edim mesira karki. So Rebbe, therefore, would hold like Rabbi Elazar, who says the edim who saw it being given over are the ones who create the kares. In the case of a get, they're the one who created the get krisus, that now the divorce is in effect. And therefore, by analogy over here, they're the ones who make the shtar be a valid shtar. We're not worried about the fact that the edim who are signed in the shtar are that one of them is invalid. So therefore, Rebbe would say that nidun b'shtar diri Rebbe. That Rebbe is saying, fine, you can judge the case. Basically, you can judge the case based on the shtar. The guy does not need to bring eide chazaka that he's been there for 3 years, or for that matter, eide chazaka that he did a chazaka in the field in the first place, because he has a shtar. I, the shtar itself, has a possible aid in it. Big deal. We have kosher edim that the shtar was handed over to him, and that the kinyan was done that way. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Savalak Rav Meir, Dama Eidich Hasim Akarti, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold like Rav Meir, who says, no, the edim who assigned them, the get, are the primary ones, and then they were in the shtar in general. Therefore, over here, since one of those edim is possible, that's it. You got no, you don't have a good shtar.
Even though they don't see any action with the just paper, but they don't see.
No, we're talking about the ones who sign on the shtar, and then the shtar, you have. Obviously, you have Eidi Chassimah and you have Eidi Mesira, but Rav Meir holds the ones who are signed in the Shtar are the primary ones. Later on, you'll need Eidim to show that it was given over, but the ones who are signed in the Shtar are the primary ones. Therefore, if one of them is fossil, then you don't have a valid Shtar.
How can you say that the Eidi Mesira are the ones who established the Shtar when the Eidi Chassimah?
That's the point. According to Rav Elazar, as we learned way back in Gittin, according to him, technically, you don't need Eidim signed in the Shtar at all. The whole concept, according to him, of Adam signing a shtar and a get, for example, was meant for the good of the woman. That way, for example, she doesn't have to every time go and find these Adam Masira, the Adam who actually saw the get being given. You can be Mekayim the shtar based on the Adam Chasima. But according to Rabbi Elazar, even if you don't have Adam Chasima, or if one of them turns out to be apostle, as long as you have the Adam Masira, you're okay. Even in the case of a get, he holds that way. The halacha is technically like that. I mean, although in practice you have a get is fine anyway. So Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold. Well, Rav Elazar, Rav Meir, yeah, we're saying, and we're saying Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're saying according to this explanation, holds that way as well. Okay. Actually, Rebbe rather holds. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that therefore, so Rebbe would be saying, okay, we have a valid shtar over here because we have aid and asira on it. There's a no good aid in it. Doesn't matter. Therefore, we can judge according to the shtar. You, the one who has chazaka on the karka, don't need to bring edi chazaka. You bring your shtar to Beis Din, and you're in good shape. Whereas according to the Shifra Gamliel, no, we will discount the shtar because it's got a possible aid sign in it. Therefore, you are going to need to bring edi chazaka in order to win your case against this ma'ara up here.
If one knows about edi mesira concept, why do we need then Eidim Asiri? If you don't need Eidim Chassima, why do you need Eidim Asiri?
Because you need one or the other. If you don't need Eidim Chassima, you definitely need Eidim Asiri. So all we're saying is if you have Eidim Chassima, fine. You still need, according to the Deya of Rav Elazar, that Eidim Asiri Karati, what we're saying is whether there are Eidim signed in the Shtar or not is neither here nor there. It's a good idea to have Eidim signed in the Shtar because in case you can't find the Eidim Asiri, you can be Mekayim it on the basis of the Eidim Chassima. But if one of the Eidi Chassima, or both for that matter, turn out to be possible, they didn't sign at all, doesn't matter as long as you have the Eidi Mesira. Whereas Rav Meir holds not like that. Okay. The problem with that is, V'ha'omer Rav Abba, but don't we know that Rav Abba said, on the other hand, it's true, Rav Elazar holds you don't technically need Eidi Chassima. However, Rav Elazar does agree that if the shtar is mezuyach mitoichai, if the actual written shtar itself shows a forgery, that it's possible. In this case, Mela, if you didn't have Eidim signed in it at all, or you had only one aid, fine, Eidim Asiri, you'd go according to. But here, you have an aid in it, who's actually possible, that's worse than having no aid at all. Even Rav Elazar would agree that such a shtar is possible. So how can you understand? How can you understand machlokes that way?
How can you understand machlokes which way?
This day, the way that you found one of the Eidim in the shtar turned out to be called Rav Apostle. You couldn't have it. That's the definition of mezuyach mitoichai. It means that you look at the actual shtar and you find something wrong within the shtar itself, such as that one of the Eidim in it is possible. That's called mezuyach mitoichai. Ela Amar Rav Avinah. So no, Rav Avinah says here's a different answer. Hakol Moedim Shim Kasev Bo. No, it's like this. Everybody would agree that if the shtar says as follows, "Who's Kachnu Leidusan Shal Edim?" If the shtar explicitly says, "We the Beis Din checked into the edus of these Edim, the Nimtes Edusan Mezuyafes," and it turns out that their edus is forged or otherwise invalid, that's an example of Mezuyaf Mitoichai. Shul Pasul, that would be Pasul Kedir Abba. And the point is, by the way, we're showing him say it's not even that it has to say that nusach. Even if it doesn't say that nusach, the point of saying that nusach is you would think that once it says that nusach means why would we be concerned about a shtar that's mezuyach mitoichai? Because until you check out and find that one of the edim is a kosher apostle or what have you, you may think that he's kosher and you may mistakenly think that this is a valid shtar. And therefore, Rav Abba has to tell you that no, once it's mezuyach mitoichai, then it's out. The point is, even if you have this nusach in it, you would think, okay, well, you have the nusach. Obviously, Beis Din knows that one or both of the edim in the shtar is no good. Therefore, you would think there's no possibility we're going to misuse the shtar for anything. Let's at least use it to some extent, at least to show, for example, if there was a sale. We still don't say that.
That's not the opinion of Rabbi Elazar.
No, Rabbi Elazar agrees that mezuzah fetochei is possible. That's what we're saying. And he would say, even if you have this nusach edit, which shows, therefore, that the Beis Din is fully aware that one of the edim is possible, you would think, therefore, there's no possibility of us misusing this shtar as a valid shtar. Let's at least use it as the equivalent of an invalid shtar. Fine, it will at least be enough to show that there was a sale here, for example.
No,
still not. So what is the machloikas? The machloikas, rather, would be only if the shtar has no edim signed in it at all. The Rebbe saw based on what we just said. So if you had an aid in there that was possible, then forget it. The shtar is completely possible according to everybody. Mezuyah from Terechai. Mezuyah means forged. In other words, because here you have something which it's invalid. It's the equivalent of a forgery. Okay, but that's the equivalent. In other words, this person is supposedly a kosher aid, and here he's not. So therefore, it's the equivalent of a forgery. It's something false, in other words. So the machloikas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel rather would be ela b'shtar she'ein ela b'edim klal. The machloikas would be if the shtar had no edim sign on it at all. Therefore, do Rebbe sava like Rav Elazar, do Rebbe edim esir karti. So again, we can say Rebbe holds like Rav Elazar. Doesn't matter that there's no edim chasima whatsoever. We have edim esira, and that's good enough. The shtar is a valid shtar on that basis. Therefore, you, the machlik and the karka, are able to show your shtar in Beis Din, and that's it. You're good now, and that takes care of the ma'ara. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds like a mayor that you need Eide Chassima. No Eide Chassima means you have no shtar. No shtar, well then you better have than no shtar, then you better have then you better have Chazor.
So if you have Eide, that is Mesira and Eide
Mesira, yes.
By having the wrong person
that's signed in it is worse.
You lose the whole thing.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, I mean, you have this concept of mezuzah mitocha in other areas in halacha as well. For example, you have it in certain cases of a sefer Torah. You know, you have psulim in a sefer Torah where the sefer Torah is temporarily possible, but you can fix it. But then you have things that are mezuzah mitocha. An example of that would be, one example would be, for example, if a person who's possible to write a sefer Torah wrote it, then that's it, you know, then that's a goner. Okay. Anyway, now, of course, the question is, if he never had a shtar in the first place, how does he have a chazakah? The chazakah has to have a taina with it. The answer is, he would argue that he originally bought the karka in some other way, with kesef, or by making a chazakah, that the guy told him, leich chazakah pni, go make a chazakah, and it'd have no agadu oparot, or whatever. He'd have aid, obviously, he'd need aid him for that, and he'd aid him that he had 3 years chazakah as well, yeah. Okay. Or yet another possibility, you can explain the machloikas of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel in this last braise in yet another way. The machloikas between them would be, we know that when a person brings a shtar to Beis Din, the first thing is he has to be mekayim. Because otherwise, the other person, the loiver or what have you, can argue the shtar is forged. So you need to be mekayim, the signatures of Edim, and then you can go from there. What happens if, for example, the loiva is moide that he actually wrote the shtar, or that it's a valid shtar? So therefore,
even if one of the edim is
no, never mind one of the edim being possible. We're talking about kosher edim. There are kosher edim in the shtar now. New case.
But he's moide.
The loiva is moide that it is a valid, that it is, or at least it was a valid shtar, that it's not forged. The question still is, he could still argue though that it was paid off. Or we could do so. The question is: Do you need to be mekayim it? So in this case, what do you have? The guy is Mexican karka. You have he's coming to Beis Din again. He has a shtar. He has 3 years of chazaka as well. So the ma'arer is saying that I didn't actually sell you the skeel. Yes, you have a shtar that shows that the skeel was sold. However, all it is I dropped the shtar. You found it, and now on that basis, you're claiming that you bought this karka. He's admitting that it was a valid shtar to begin with. He's not claiming that it's forged.
What's with the name? The name is going to be different.
The name, too. You could have two people with the same name, or you could have he wrote the shtar intending to sell the field and didn't actually sell it yet. Whatever.
The shtar was in a shaper.
Yes.
And what happened to it?
The ma'arer is arguing, I dropped the shtar, you found it, and now you're claiming that you bought the field from me. Whereas the one who's Mexican in the field is saying no such thing. I actually bought the shtar from you, and you wrote me a shtar at the time. Does he need to be Mekayim Neshtar? The Rebbe saw a Moedah B'Shtar Shkos V'en Tzarech L'Kayim, right? Therefore, it's like this. Rebbe holds that since the Ma'arer is Moedah that he did write the Shtar, then you don't need to be Mekayim it. It can be considered a valid Shtar. Basically, what the Rashbam says, because you wouldn't say a pesha also a pesha hit you. You wouldn't say, well, the guy is claiming that he wrote the shtar, and only on that basis do we know it's good, but he's also claiming that he never gave it to you, that he lost it, or whatever. We wouldn't say that because we don't usually suspect Jews of forging shtaris. The Chachamim made a concept that you have to be Mekayim, that you have to be Mekayim a shtar where there's an eruv. Here, where he himself admits it, that he wrote the shtar, then Rebbe holds, you don't need the kiyum. Therefore, the shtar is valid. Therefore, you can go to Beis Din on the basis of the shtar without needing to be Mekayim the signatures. And therefore, that's it. Then you can be believed on that basis. But Rav Shimon Gamliel still have a tzarech l'kayim, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, even in that case, you need to be Mekayim the shtar. So therefore, when Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the Braisa, Nidin b'chazaka, he didn't mean that you can't use the shtar. He meant if you want to use the shtar, you're going to have to be Mekayim it. Until you can be Mekayim, if you can't be Mekayim it for one reason or another, then you're going to need Eide Chazaka. Okay, so the question is, you need Eidim Chazaka. You need Eidim that you had Chazaka on the place for 3 years. If you can be Mekayim, then that's it. You're Mekayim, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel would have. The usual, you find other people who recognize those signatures, you call in the Eidim themselves and have them recognize those signatures based and has those signatures on file, whatever. The usual five methods of being Mekayim Hashtag. Okay. The problem with that is, if you're going to understand the machloikas that way, then we find Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel saying exactly the other way around as far as this concept of Moedah B'Shtar Shekosvei, whether Tzarech L'Kayim or not. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, we learned this back at the beginning of Bava Metzia, Shnayim Adukin B'Shtar, if you have two people who are holding on to a Shtar, a Malva and a Loiva, let's say, Malva Oimer Shalihu V'Nofel Menu Metzosvei, the Malva says it is my Shtar, meaning the loan has not been paid off yet. I dropped it, you, the loiva, have found it, and now you're claiming that that it was already paid off or whatever. The loiva I'm a shalchahu prativ lecha, and the loiva agrees, yes, it was your shtar, I agree it's not a forged shtar or anything like that. However, I already paid it off, and that's why it's in my possession. What do we do? Yiskayim ashtar b'chosm of Zivir Rebbe. So Rebbe says, okay, you need to be mekayim the shtar. And then once you're Mekayim the Shtar, then you're going to be able to, then you'll be able to collect, the Malva will be Mekayim the Shtar, and then I'll be able to collect, on the loan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I mean, Yachloiku. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that, no, they have to split it. You only have to pay him half the Milva. Vahavinanva, and in that Sugya in Bava Metzia, in the first parak, we ask about that. Why does Rebbe hold? Why should Rebbe hold? You should be able to collect the entire loan once you're Mekayim the Shtar. The less later, the Rebbe held the Tznan Shneimich and the Talach Zema Animus Tzia Zema Animus Tzia. What does Rebbe do with the first Mishnah in Bava Metzia? There are two people are holding on to a talus. Each one claims I found it. They Yishav Hashem of a Pachu Mechetia. They Yishav Hashem of a Pachu Mechetia. Each one swears that I own not less than half the talus. The Yachloifu, and they divide it. Why should this case be any different? Each one is claiming that the Shtar was originally in his possession. It's exactly the same as Shneim Adukin as Shneimich and the talus. Why should he collect the whole thing?
You have to say that they paid the loan off. If he finished and paid the loan off, there was no aids there.
No, well, whether there's aids or not, we're going to get to that's a different question. In general, if you take out a loan, you don't necessarily need to pay it back in the presence of aids. It may well be a good idea to, because otherwise you don't have proof, but you're not absolutely required to la loha. We'll talk about a little further. I don't think we'll get to it now because we've got to go to that Meirev in a minute. But we'll get to it tomorrow then, I guess, and we'll also get to it in Shavuot, Bezat Hashem, about various permutations of that, whether what if the guy says explicitly, I want you to pay me in front of Adim, what if he says, I want you to pay me in front of these particular Adim, whatever. Anyway, let's finish off this last thing. It's fine.
People come to us.
Okay. So anyway, so V'Amar Rava Amar Rav Nachman. So Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, V'Mekuyim Kula Amalei Pligid Yachloiku. It's true. If the shtar is already Mekuyim, meaning it already has a kiyum, a hentik from it on Beis Din, then the Kula Amalei Pligid Yachloiku. Then everybody taka agrees that you would divide it because that's exactly the same as the talis.
The Mekuyim.
If it already has a kiyum on it. Ki pligi b'she'en Mekuyim. The machloikus rather between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel in that case in Bava Metzia is where the shtar is not yet Mekuyim. namely Rebbe Sava Moedish of Shtashikos with Tzorech L'Kaim, right? Therefore, it's like this. Rebbe holds, even though the Loiva agrees that it was a valid Shtar, nevertheless, you still have to be Mekayim it again. The Imekayim lay, and yes, if the Malva will be able to be Mekayim it, good, Rabbi Pauga. He'll be able to collect half the debt, not like we thought before the whole debt, because after all, it is like Shnai Mos in the Talis, but he'll be able to collect half. The Iloi Chaspa Ba'almahu, and if not, then it's just like a piece of earthenware, it's worthless, because without a key.
So in any case, up to now.
No, you need a kiyum, in other words.
You need a kiyum.
Wait. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, never mind that. Doesn't matter whether there's a kiyum on it. Because the loiva admits that it was a valid shtar to begin with, we discount the possibility that it might be forged. The only possibility is maybe he dropped it and the other guy found it. That's less common. Therefore, we say that we accept the Malva's argument that it was his all along, and it is valid, the Yachloku, and therefore they divide. So we see over there, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that once the loiva is moida, that the shtar was a valid shtar, you don't need to be mekayim it. Rebbe says you do, whereas we're trying to argue, we're trying to explain over here in the Gemara the other way around, that Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel hold the other way around. And that's why Rebbe says over here the shtar is valid without kiyum, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says that not. How do you reconcile?
One thing we do know is that chloik over here means one of them got definitely stealing, whereas the talis and brachas,
because if I remember correctly, the Gemara in Bava Metzia there points out, it is also possible that he paid off half the loan already. It is conceivable. Never mind the talus. There it could be they both picked it up at the same time.
Here
it could also be he paid off half the loan already. Not necessarily the loan paid off 100%. So there's not necessarily a Badei Rabbi over here, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The answer is Epoch. Okay, you're right. You have to flip around the opinions of the two opinions in Bava Metzia over there. You would say that over there, Rebbe is the one who holds that you don't have to be Mekayim the Shtar. Therefore, no matter what, he can collect half. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel would say you have to be Mekayim it, and if you're Mekayim, you collect half, and you're not Mekayim, you collect nothing.
Shtar Mekayim is a stamp from Bezin, that says Mekayim
one. Yes, that says we checked out the signatures of the medium, we found them to be valid. Therefore, the Shtar is not forged, and therefore, yes. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow with another answer of the Gemara, which is going to lead into a discussion related to what you were talking about just now, Ellie, about the question, do you have to pay back a loan in front of Edom? And what happens if you claim you did and the Edom aren't available or whatever, so we'll continue with that tomorrow.
Let's go in front of the shop people.